Dr. Levitt to do the presentation. Sorry. Thank you, President Zindel, and I promise to keep the presentation short and sweet tonight. So it's been a pleasure to talk to you and present to you over the past 2 months. We are here at our fourth public hearing, where we're considering, hopefully, to select a plan for adoption tonight. This comes after we held two public hearings to take testimony on communities of interest that resulted in the preparation of four draft maps from feedback we received from the community. In addition, we had a community member present a map of his own. Then at the third public hearing last week, we narrowed the number of maps down from 5 to 2, the orange and purple maps. And we then got a request to make small changes to them, and that was what we're going to be talking about here tonight, presenting orange 2 and purple 2. After this meeting, November 2018, we'll hold the first elections within these district boundaries. In November 2020, the remaining three districts would hold election, depending on expansion and other issues. Finally, in November 2020, or during May 2021, as a result of the 2020 census, we're going to have to take a look at these districts again to see if they still comply with legal requirements, and we probably will have to redraw them in 2021 to ensure that they remain legally valid. And what do we mean by legally valid? Well, for those of you who've been here before, you're probably more than familiar with these criteria by now. But for those of you who are hearing this for the first time, districts have to follow a certain set of legal requirements. All four of these plans do comply with the legal requirements. The first is equal population. This is total population from the 2010 census. Yes, we know the 2010 census is 8 years out of date. It is still a legally required basis, because it gives us that population figures not only for big units like cities and neighborhoods, but down to the census block level, tiny units of geography. It's the only data set available with that level of precision, which is why the courts and the state of California said it's the set we have to use. And we balance this in terms of everybody. So non-citizens count, children count, people who are not registered to vote, all count toward equal population. Each of these four draft maps is within the required 10% maximum difference between the largest and smallest districts, or zones here. In addition, we follow the Federal Voting Rights Act, particularly Section 2, which protects against dilution of protected class groups, groups that have historically faced discrimination or barriers to registration and voting. While race cannot be the only factor justifying the creation of a district, it must be one of many factors that we take into account as we look at these draft maps. Each of the draft maps has a majority Latino district by eligible voter population, that's citizens of who are over the age of 18. That is area D in the orange map in orange 2, and area C in the purple and purple 2 map. You'll see that it's the same part of the district, as you might expect, it's a cathedral city center district. Finally, we look at traditional criteria, including factors like communities of interest, compactness, contiguity. These include a lot of things like following major roads, making sure that districts can be easily understood to the populations that live in them and have to vote in them, using whole census geography, and respecting the cities and other communities that make up this district. And so, in addition to what we have here tonight, we still invite you, and we'll continue to have a website devoted to this process. As our next stage, we'll continue to have a web map of the maps, whichever one is adopted, available for people to look at. And we're going to be working as a district to help inform people of which zone they live in and where they'll be holding their elections in November. So to briefly touch on the orange and orange 2 maps, almost all of the geography is the same. Almost all the boundaries are the same between Orange and Orange County. Both of them keep a district in the north, including the entire city of Desert Hot Springs, in addition to Garnet and as much of Desert Edge as we could put in there. Orange and Orange 2 each have a Palm Springs-centered area zone in Zone C, and is zoned entirely in Cathedral City in Zone D. It also has a Zone B that links the areas north of Fred Wary Road on either side of the 10 Freeway. In addition, Zone E is a district, or is a zone centered along Highway 111, including the southern portions of Palm Springs, Rancho Mirage, and Palm Desert. As we look at the difference between the two, the direction received at the last meeting was to ensure that the boundaries follow the City of Palm Springs 1PS neighborhoods. So these adjustments help follow those boundaries. So for example, Tuckweeps Canyon is a boundary on the eastern or a western side of the western side of Palm Canyon, but not on the eastern side, where we drawn it in the first orange map. And so we've made those adjustments to keep those neighborhoods intact in the City of Palm Springs. For the purple map shows an option that basically creates a district centered, or one district entirely in the north, that instead of coming in from the western side and moving eastward, comes from the east side and moves westward. So it includes Sky Valley, all of Garnet, all of Desert Edge, and as much of the city of Desert Hot Springs, about 60% or maybe 70% of Desert Hot Springs is in Zone A. The remainder is linked with Palm Springs in Zone B. Zone C creates an option that links the northern part of Cathedral City with parts of Thousand Palms. Zone D then creates sort of a south central district that includes southern portions of Cathedral City, Palm Springs, and most of Rancho Mirage. And Zone E then excludes all of the cities of Palm Desert and Indian Wells. And the remaining part, the southern part, basically south of 111, of Rancho Mirage, and the southern portion of Thousand Palms. Again, the only difference between purple and purple 2 is, again, in the Palm Springs neighborhoods. And this is a classic case where we just followed that line. It's Escoba Road in the original purple map. But Escoba Road is not a street that divides neighborhoods in Palm, or it's not a street between neighborhoods. Goes through a neighborhood in Palm Springs. And so Purple 2 adjusts it so that those neighborhoods remain intact. And so with that, we're going to turn it over back to the board, open it up for public comment, and I will come back to sequencing if you'd like later, once we've gotten through this plan. So I look forward to your comments and discussion.
Okay, we're now going to open up public comment, and we have one card. So it's Barry Newkirk. Would you like to address the board? We're going to have you over there so you can face the board and the audience, and we'll see if this works.
Hi, everyone.
I'm Barry Newkirk, here on behalf of the people and organizations that make up the Building Healthy Communities Coalition. BHC is urging the board to adopt the purple map once again. This map creates the strongest Latino minority zone of any proposed map, and it divides the West Valley into the five most sensible subdivisions that we've seen of any of the proposed maps. Specifically, what concerns us about the orange map is how unincorporated communities north of the 10 are in the same zone, I believe it's Zone B, as portions of Rancho Mirage and Palm Desert. This potentially dilutes the voices of rural and possibly lower income voters. Zone E on the orange map is also a problem. Zone E, you'll notice, is contiguous by land, but it's not contiguous by car. It is literally split into two sections. Zone E is also extreme in the way that it includes portions of five cities. I looked at all the other maps. Every other zone on every map have three cities at the most, as far as I could tell. So, I'll just say that if I could just switch perspectives for a second. I happen to live in South Palm Springs, and I don't quite understand why I would be in the same zone as people living in Indian Wells. The consultant mentioned 111. Highway 111 is not any kind of unifying symbol of those communities. I'd much rather be tied to neighborhoods closer to myself. So if neighborhood and community community is a priority of this board, we really think that the purple map does that the best. Thank you.
Can I just ask you to clarify something? When you say purple map, you mean purple 2 or purple 1?
Yes. I'm referencing the revised versions of both, but essentially our concerns did not change after the revisions were made. Thanks.
Okay. Seeing no other cards, we're now going to move to the reading of any material that was brought in ahead of time, so if you could curve the mic.
Good evening. I just have one comment that was sent in prior into our email system. This note is from Shelley Kaplan of Cathedral City to President Zendel. Wes, I appreciate the comments provided at the last meeting by both members of the community and the board regarding the proposed zones for the DHCD. I will not be able to attend the next meeting, so I'm putting my thoughts into this email for the public record. As you know, our mayor provided recommendations from the City Council of Cathedral City by letter, but since the board had limited the number of zone maps under consideration, which removes one of the two maps we supported, I would like to reiterate that our city's position, that we support the orange map as the final zone map for the district. Our city is over 60% Hispanic, with small populations of Asian and African American residents. We feel that keeping Cathedral City as whole as possible, as the orange map does, would meet the criteria for population, address the Federal Voting Rights Act, meet the needs of being compact and contiguous, and meet the needs of maintaining the community of interest that exists in the city. Since the map includes the Dream Homes community and the outpost section of the city as well as the Panorama neighborhood, it provides a majority Hispanic neighborhood. We would like to strongly recommend this map as the final map for this round of zoning decisions, knowing that potential expansion of the district and the 2020 census may bring other changes in the future. Thanks for the board's consideration, Shelley.
Can you say orange map?
Orange map.
And orange too.
Correct.
Okay. We're now going to open it up to any people that would like to speak that didn't have a chance to speak before. Please, we're going to give you a mic. And sir, please go ahead. You can stand up over there.
Good afternoon. My name is Sergio Perigueta from Cathedral City, and I live in the Dream Home neighborhood. And I think the best map that fits to give better opportunity to the Hispanic border or population is the purple 2. That is the I'm asking to, is possible to be a purple 2.
Thank you. Would anybody else like to speak?
Hi, board. My name is Alexis Ortega. I'm born and raised in the city of Palm Springs, and I would like to give my support for the Purple 2 map as well. I believe it creates the strongest, well, both maps do, it creates the strongest of both maps for a strong Latino voting bloc in the district. Thank you.
Is there anyone else who'd like to speak?
Good evening. My name is Pam Borja. I'm the Director of Community Affairs for Planned Parenthood of the Pacific Southwest. My suggestion for tonight's vote was also the purple map 2, with a couple of comments. The first one is a Thousand Palms, right where the purple and the E and the C meet. There is a community of mobile home, a big, large mobile home community that is not included in Thousand Palms, though they share a lot of similar identities. With the part that is included in C. So my suggestion would be to annex that part of Thousand Palms into C. And then in Rancho Mirage, right where it says Rancho Mirage right under, to the left of E, there's also a very large community that should probably be included into D. So if you take both of these suggestions and you look at the voter turnout for C and E, and if you look at total population, it would make sense to make some of these adjustments, and they would fit into the total population that you need, the Latino voter turnout that can support these changes in these zoning districts. So those would be, my suggestion would be vote yes on Purple 2 with some added changes to Thousand Palms and Rancho Mirage.
Do we have any other comments? Okay, if there are no other comments, I'm going to ask the directors if they have any questions to the public that have spoken that you want to clarify anything.
I'm a visual person, and so can we, I'm a visual person, so can we mock up a purple 2 map with the changes recommended by the NAMA so that I can see what that looks like? Awesome.
I don't know that we're, Justin, you're going to have to say what we are capable of doing at this late date and what we're not capable of doing.
Can you just, like, can you draw and then pass it around, like what she's talking about?
We don't have the capacity to do that right here. Okay.
Was that the slide you showed earlier?
I mean, you could indicate it on the slide if you'd like you could pull up.
Yeah, if you could, I just want to see visually what your comments were. Okay, just because when you said to the left and right, I kind of got lost. I want to make sure I'm understanding it correctly. Did you understand what she was saying?
We'll get the map up and then we'll...
Okay. Would you mind illustrating for us? Thank you.
Karen, why don't you get the map, the mic.
So, this corner here, in Thousand Palms, and really all of this, shops together, does similar healthcare services together and whatnot. They just are very different populations. This is a highly white population, and this is the highly Latino neighborhood population, but they do identify together. So this block right here in Thousand Palms, and then there's some ranches, just like a couple of families that own a couple of random ranches, so it's not that large of a population. And this is now in the E map, and I'm asking for a revision to be included into the C map. But that would then leave a gap in population in E, and annexing this corner of Rancho Mirage into D is my other suggestion.
Okay. I'm sorry, but you're taking two things out of E.
So I don't know what
the you have to sort of add stuff back.
Yeah, I don't know what the math or the numbers later on would look like.
Does the orange map, orange 2, address that?
Yeah, could you put up orange 2, and Karen, could you point to those two areas and see if...
Orange 2.
So orange 2 does in Thousand Palms, but it does something very odd up here, right? Where, like, now these unincorporated communities that identify together aren't kept together. And this section is what is nice in the purple map, right? Where people that identify similarly and probably have similar transportation healthcare needs, their representatives can sort of combine needs.
But the two neighborhoods you pointed out, do they...
Yes.
Are they...
The orange map, yes. I think it's here, and it's all part of E, and
okay.
This is all part of B.
Okay, thank you.
Are there any other board questions?
Did I just understand you to say that the orange map accomplishes the two neighborhoods that you were concerned about?
That I'm concerned about in the purple map.
Got
but there's a lot of concerns in the orange map. Not a whole ton, right? It's not too, but just like this section here and then dividing up the unincorporated areas up top.
Okay. Any other questions of the public? Okay. I'm going to close the public hearing, and I'm going to open it up to the board for comments, questions, motions, whatever you'd like to do. You can make a comment, you can make a motion.
Thank you. I have an opportunity to speak with several people in Desert Hot Springs, where I live, and attend Desert Hot Springs Rotary and Chamber of Commerce and all around, get around. And most of the people there tell me that the Desert Edge community in the orange map identifies more closely with Desert Hot Springs, that their children go to school in the Desert Hot Springs, the school district there. They shop in Desert Hot Springs to a degree. And then at our last public hearing, the people who lived in Gateway and North Palm Springs identified more closely with the orange map as well. So I personally don't have any preference, but I'm just listening to the people in my community about how they feel.
Anybody else would like to speak or make a motion?
Make that motion.
I can make that motion that I suggest we adopt the Orange 2 map.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay, discussion.
Frankly, you pull them out of a hat, I'd be fine. I appreciate the comments, but that's divided up, and we're going to be dividing again in a couple of years.
Okay, would you like to say anything?
Please say something. Add some wisdom.
I do have a question for the consultant as to whether it would even be possible in this process to make additional map changes. And if we were to consider additional map changes, wouldn't that trigger an additional round of public distribution and another public hearing and so on and so forth?
So, the answer to that question very simply is yes. If we don't adopt something tonight, we will miss our deadline to file something with the registrar for the 2018 election. And there's a question open about whether it would end up resulting in a lawsuit or not, but most likely, we have no idea how to guide you on that. But the bottom line is if we don't adopt something tonight, we won't have a map for 2018.
And I would like to point out that if you look at the difference in Latino and other minority populations between the orange map and the purple map, they're pretty close. 55% Hispanic in the orange 2 map, 47% Hispanic in purple 2 map. So we're very close, and I think you have to take into account that we have to do a balancing act with the numbers, the total populations per area. And we will be looking at this again in the 2020 census.
I'll make a comment. I believe that we have heard a lot from people in Cathedral Cities, specifically Cathedral City government, that they would like to stay together. And we've heard people in Desert Hot Springs that say that they would like to stay together. So I do lean toward the Orange 2 map. I also just want to give a little sense of reality here, and that's that if the expansion passes in November, we will be appointing two people who live east of Cook, and we will be immediately redrawing all of these maps to have seven districts, which means that all of these will change. There will probably be three of seven districts in the current district, because the east side is larger than the west side. So just think about that. If it passes, there'll be changes. If it doesn't pass, then we would be redistricting anyway based on the census. The census is from 2010. Anybody who's lived here knows that there have been huge population changes since 2010. Not only in numbers of population, but also in demographics. So
I do favor the Orange 2 map, and that's all I wanted to say. Does anybody else want to say anything? Okay, we have a motion to accept the Orange 2 map. Could you call the roll?
Director Wortham?
Yes.
Director Matthews? Sorry, Director Hazen?
No.
Director Matthews?
I don't know why she voted no, but I was going to vote yes, so I'll have to just stick with my vote. I really would like an explanation. I don't vote. But that's your vote.
Is that a yes?
I voted yes, yeah. Because I seconded the vote.
Yes.
And President Sando?
Yes.
And the motion passed.
Okay, so Orange 2 will be Exhibit A in our resolution. And we're now going to move to a discussion of the sequencing of zones. And I'm going to ask our consultant, Dr. Levitt, to then tell us about it and what this means, and then we will open it up to public comment.
Thank you again. So in terms of sequencing, I'll start with the basic first principles, which is which are a couple of things that we have to deal with here. Two zones will elect in 2018. Three zones will elect in 2020. This is because the board must remain at a constant number of five members. No current term will be affected. The board was elected at large, and you continue to serve at large until that zone comes up for election. And so starting with that, we also are working under a provision of the code that suggests that you number 1, 3, and 5 as the 2020 districts and 2 and 4 as the 2018 districts. The Health and Safety Code has a very strange provision specifically for health care districts. It doesn't apply to school districts or cities or counties or anyone else. So in terms of the election sequence by plan, the basic outline is if we're minimizing the impact on the current cycles, so that if we have a district or a zone with one board member, we would keep it on that board member cycle, even if that board member is termed out or chooses not to run. That would mean that Zone A would be up in 2018, and Zones B and E would be up in 2020. You would then have a choice of putting one of C and D up in 2018 and the other one of C and D up in 2020. This is because there are two board members in Zone C who are on different cycles. And I can kind of explain what that would do to current board members in terms of whether or not they'd run for re-election or not, but I will leave that up to questions if you have them about it. The important thing to consider is that even if a board member who was up in 2020, I should say, ends up in a 2018 district, they continue to serve until 2020 because that zone, their position, remains at large all the way until 2020. And so with that, I suggest that we would recommend that A would be up in 2018, C and E in 2020, and you would have your choice of whether C or D was the other district up in each year.
Thank you. We'll now open it up to public comment again.
Are there any people that would like to make a comment from the public? Don't be shy.
Don't comment, comment. You guys take a lot of decisions.
Anybody want to make a comment?
Okay. There are no comments.
We got one.
Oh, I'm sorry. Please go to the mic.
My name is Mario Jimenez, and I live on the Green Hall neighborhood. I believe the purple map too, if it's to the healthcare. One of the questions that I need to ask the board was that any members of the board going to the city and ask the
the residents, how do you feel to be involved with a cult? Is anybody else a neighborhood?
First of all, we can't respond, but the point you're trying to make, could you just clarify the point you're trying to make?
The point that I'm trying to make is, Carl, you went to Desert High School. They give you something to say about the orange map. So you guys decided the orange map. Just give us the same opportunity. Why don't you go to the other side of Cathedral City and ask him, how do they feel about it? Don't just only take whatever they say in one place and take it by yourself. That's the only thing that I need to ask.
Thank you for your comment. Are there any other comments?
Yes, sir.
My name is Juan Carlos Vizala, and I understand that I support the purple map as well. And it's very, how can somebody tell me something and support that? If somebody really wants something, they should be here, and the voice should be taken like a consideration. Otherwise, it would be easy to send you an email and say something, and that's it. So I found this like, we need more time to just analyze and respect the people's decision. If it's not, it's not. But just voting and taking control, I found that very uncomfortable. Thank you.
Thank you. I will point out that we've had 4 public hearings, and there were people actually that came to those public hearings with various opinions about various different maps. So we have had an opportunity. We also gave an opportunity for people who couldn't be at meetings to send in a remark. So that's the process we've used, and I will just remind you that we're not talking about purple and orange now. We're talking about which are the zones that we're going to have for the 2018 election. Are there any people that would like to address which zone should be up for the next election? Yes, ma'am.
Let me get you a mic, okay?
To be up for election first. I think given the strength of support from the Cathedral City government in selecting the orange TMAP, and the fact that that is the zone with the strongest Latino voting bloc, that putting that up to election first and having somebody on the board immediately or as close to possible as immediately might help start to shift the conversations that are happening at the board level for funding.
Are there any other public comments? Then I will close the public hearing and open it up to the board. Does anybody want to make a motion?
I think that's a compelling argument that in 2018 we can... because there's changes anyways, there's an election, make sure I got the zones right. And A, and Cathedral City and D would have a chance to exercise their vote. So I'm inclined to support that for 2018. That's just my comment.
Would you like to make a motion?
Does anybody want to comment, or do you rather just make a motion?
Make a motion.
As they're nodding, I move that zone A and D be the zones that are zoned for the 2018 election.
Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
Okay. For the sake of clarity, and Jeff, tell me if I need to do this, shall we say that zone A is 2? Becomes 2 because we have to pick 2 and 4.
Right.
Zone A is 2 and zone B is 4. And let's arbitrarily say...
Well done.
Let's arbitrarily say that that C is 1 and E is 3 and B is 5. Okay? So that's the motion. We've had a second. Is there any more to say? So 1 is Palm Springs. I'm sorry, C. 2 is A, 3 is E, 4 is D, 5 is B, and 2 and 4, A and D, Desert Hot Springs, Cathedral City, will be voted on in 2018. Is there any more discussion? Hearing no more discussion, we'll call the roll.
Director Wertham?
Yes.
Director Hazen?
No.
Director Matthews?
Yes.
Vice President Rogers?
Yes.
And President
Zendo? Yes. All right. Thank you. I want to thank everybody, the public, our consultants, the staff, which has worked very hard to get these meetings going, the board of directors, and the people who have attended the meetings, the people who haven't attended the meetings. We really appreciate this. And like I said, this is really the first step of what may be many steps over the next 2 to 3, 4 years. And I want to thank everybody for their participation. We're now going to move on to the agenda. And the next item is the consent agenda. And I've been asked to pull 2 items from the consent agenda, the board minutes from the May meeting and the board minutes from the June 19th meeting, because there are some changes. So do I have a motion to accept the consent agenda except for those 2 items?
I so move.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? No. Andrea, could you please read what the proposed changes in the minutes are?
I think I'll move over to the minor changes, but carry it
forward. Where's the other mic?
The changes are minor but very important. Sometimes words do make a difference. And so page 14 we have of the May agenda referred to one of Director Hazen's motion to address Director Wertham's concerns on equity instead of impartiality, as well as no dependence and no reimbursements to directors rather than from. And then we have on page 16 of the May minutes, there was an extra 0 in the 65,000, which makes a difference. And then there was also a reference to the lost cost of 75,000 to 80,000 in Director Wertham's comment.
So how would you say the cost actually is?
75 to 80,000. It was listed as a loss, but it's actually a cost.
Got it.
And then one last item on the June minutes, page 34, motion 1874, just a correction on that last line. There was a motion by Director Hazen and second by Director Matthews to approve the purple and orange maps to draw the lines to preserve the established neighborhood boundaries. And these corrections have been made this evening for Vice President Rogers' consideration of signature. Thank you.
Do I hear a motion to accept the changes?
So moved.
Second?
I have a question. So I wasn't here for the June meeting, the second meeting, so I should abstain from approving those minutes that I'm okay with the first time.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstained?
Abstained from the
second. Okay. Council, I actually skipped over the. Do we need to take another vote on the resolution? This is resolution 1806, which puts into code what we did, which was select the Orange 2 map and to designate the 2 and 4 zones. The do we need to vote on it separately? Because it's a resolution.
Well, I think you took you passed the resolution, did you not?
No, we took two separate votes on first selecting the map, then selecting the zones, and now we have one resolution that has those two in.
Take a formal action then on the resolution, and basically we'll fill in 2 and 4 the proper that were reflected in prior motions.
Right, just to make it official. I move that we accept the resolution. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Roll call, please.
Yeah, before you do that, can I just clarify something? So I voted no on these items, but now that's done. And so voting forward on to allow the resolution to move forward doesn't mean that I now change my opinion, right?
No. It's going to be
for the record.
Yeah.
That will now be in the record, yes. Would you like to explain your no vote? Okay. Council doesn't want you to. Okay.
I wish you would explain it in your room.
Okay. Roll call, please.
Director Borrego? Yes. Director Mason?
Yes.
Director Matthews?
Yes.
Vice President Rogers?
Yes.
And Director Zinn?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, back to the agenda. We're now going to have a report from our Desert Healthcare District CEO. As soon as the helicopter lands.
I only have, good evening, I only have one quick thing and then want to follow up on an issue that President Rogers asked for information on. So the first item is personnel. The district has welcomed, and I think they're all here, Will Dean, who's in the back, is the new director of communications and marketing. We have Annalisa Worm, who is our new health policy analyst. And then we have, I don't know if Felicia Mance is, hello Felicia, I can see you up there. Sorry. No, accounting person in our finance stuff. And Megan Kane, who is our community health research analyst. So welcome all, and I know many of you have already gotten a chance to meet the board, and you haven't, you will after the meeting, so welcome to the district. And that concludes in the infrastructure that you directed from the strategic plan. That means there is a full staff. The second item that I've been asked to go through is just a very brief overview of Vice President Rogers had written in this week to talk a little bit about Acadia Health and their application at the City of Indio to build an inpatient and outpatient psychiatric facility. And so I was asked to give just a very brief update on that. So the staff team in coordination with Tenet and at your direction in terms of the importance of behavioral health care has been working and monitoring this issue. Last week, Lisa and myself met with Andy Hanner, the Chief Strategy Officer for Acadia, who has been looking for land for about a year and a half and has moved from Palm Springs Airport to Cathedral City and is proposing an 8-acre block in Indio, and it is currently before the Planning Commission in Indio. And so we have been walking that, you know, fine line of ensuring that we find out as much information as possible for you, that we continue to be guided by your direction about the importance of not only behavioral health, but the need for inpatient psych beds and other outpatient needs in this district. So we're doing the work behind it. Happy to try and answer any questions. Have now made contact with the chief strategy officer who is overseeing this. And there are, as you can imagine, there are issues that have been raised in the community. The Planning Commission is still looking at that and really not clear at this point where that may or may not land. But I know the board has spoken very significantly about the need for inpatient beds.
Board, have any questions, Mr. CEO?
I'm curious, do you happen to have the location of that parcel?
It basically is, I don't have the exact address, but it is on Cheyenne, across the street from 71809 Ontario Boulevard.
That's fine.
Where is that?
Cheyenne, I don't know. But
it's right by Jake.
It's just kitty corner.
Got it.
Jump to Jeff.
And the reason I ask is about 6 months ago, I sold an 8-acre parcel in Indio that I didn't think was part of health, and I wanted to make sure it was some outside buyer.
I can give you a couple other statistics.
It isn't that one. That was, but my concern was, oh my God, did I cross
the line?
And I remember that point you asked us, and we sort of checked it out, and that it did not look to be. That case. It's a $50 million project, and the facility is proposed to have 150 employees with an annual income over $40,000. It will be a facility, if it's built, that has adolescent and adult beds, but not pediatric beds, which are defined as 0 to 9 years old. So that's some additional information.
Or maybe you can answer this, or Michelle. Does the law say, state regulation, I guess, that it needs to be near an acute care medical hospital or affiliated with it?
Or? It's just their preference to be close to a general acute care facility.
So there's no law that says it has to be. Okay.
Are you sure?
Is
it a freestanding? It's a freestanding, independently licensed acute site.
And they have other facilities in
how
they do.
And they, I'm trying to remember the name of their facility.
And
in Riverside.
Pacific Grove Riverside.
Okay. Is there anything else?
No, I think that's about it for right now. We're continuing to monitor it, and if there's additional questions or information, we can respond to board questions or requests.
Michelle, would you like to give the Desert Regional Medical Center CEO report?
I don't even mind, I'll just yell. I'll try to keep it brief. A couple of things I wanted to mention to you is approximately 4 years ago, the district and UCR and Desert Regional came together to offer family medicine residency program. I'm very pleased to tell you that we have graduated our first class of 8 residents. Of the 8 residents that are graduating, 6 of them are staying in practice in the Coachella Valley. 7 of them are staying in practice in Riverside County, and one individual is going to be, I believe, going back to the San Diego area. So we're really pleased with the retention rate. Dr. Gemma Kim is the program director, and I think this just speaks to, she just did an awesome job in running that program. So thank you for those of you that were here at the time that helped shepherd this forward. It's a great program. On the clinical education standpoint, we are onboarding 29 new residents in the month of, they'll be starting July 1st, so they're in orientation this week. That is going to take the residency programs at Desert Regional to 114 residents, including emergency medicine, internal medicine, family practice, neurosurgery, and neurology. Another item to mention to you is our medical staff leadership is on a July 1 year. It's not calendar, it starts in July 1. So we all will be welcoming our new chief of staff, which is Dr. Kazani. We will be welcoming our new chief of staff-elect, which is Dr. Jim McKim that I just mentioned. It's running the family practice program. And then Dr. Tanous, who has been a phenomenal chief of staff for the last 2 years, he will continue on in leadership as past chief of staff. We have a couple of new members at large joining our executive committee, Dr. Gonzalez, who is a critical care hospitalist, who will be joining our NBC, as well as Dr. Todd Swenning, who is the head of World Orthopedic Trauma, will be joining our NBC. Most of our department chairs are remaining constant, just a couple of changes. Dr. Bakta, who was our past chairman of the board, will be taking over as our chairman of medicine. And then, other than that, his was the only position. These are elected positions. They were elected by the medical staff. And then on the certification accreditation front, we did go under our re-review for all of our perinatal services, and we were re-accredited by Joint Commission in that particular specialty designation. One last point to update you on some of the project work. I think the board is aware that we are upgrading all of our nurse call systems. We completed our one central nurse call system. We're completing pediatrics the end of this week or beginning of next, and then we'll be moving on to maternity ward. So we're just going through the institution. This is the time where we like to hit these things pretty hard, because census tends to be lighter in the summer months than in the winter months. Any questions?
I had a question unrelated. Since we're talking about psych and homeless, etc., I know that there's a discussion going on about a facility being built on Dillon Road. It's North Palm Springs. I wonder if you've had any update on that.
My only update is I did go down to take a look at the facility. It looks like it will be a very good location for respite care, and where Desert Regional is trying to join the collaborative that's working to bring that particular project forward. There are several interested parties. Borrego is in discussion, Desert is in discussion, and I believe you all are giving some consideration. I will be receiving a request to give some consideration. It is, as it is currently envisioned by the task group, it is an area where post-hospital individuals can go to for some continuation post-acute recovery period before they re-enter the community environment. So it's a good thing. It'll help in reducing recidivism rates and readmission rates, and really be quite something helpful addressing the gang.
And what was the scale of that?
The scale of the number of beds?
Size, scale,
yeah,
scope?
I want to say it's about 20 respite beds, but that's not a hard and fast number, but it'll give you some idea.
It's an old fire station.
An old fire station.
Yeah.
So my understanding is the city of Palm Springs has donated the location for a very reasonable price.
Okay, thank you.
Everything.
I'm going to very briefly give the report from the governing board of directors from the hospital. Carol Rogers and I are representatives of the district on that. The CEO went through, as she always does at the governing board, the update on the California Department of Public Health cases that have closed and those that are still open. That's the responsibility of the governing board to track those, and they are doing that. It's also reported that the patient satisfaction scores for April were the highest they've been in a long time, which is showing a trend of improved patient satisfaction, which we're very happy to hear about. A couple construction projects that I think people are interested in. They've just completed or about to complete phase one of the ED expansion, which will have five new bays. And now they will begin phase two, which looks at triage and admitting. And also, for those of you who are infectious disease geeks, the negative pressure rooms, which are designed to keep people in the hospital from getting infections because their immune systems are compromised. It has been funded, it's been approved by OSHPA, and construction will begin forthwith. There was a quality report, which we do at every board meeting, and two significant things from that. There's been significant improvement in hip fracture mortality and also lowering of the infection rates having to do with catheters and IVs. And then also, just as a report, because of the hurricanes last fall, there's been a nationwide shortage of some IV products and drugs, and we are filling it in this hospital as in all the hospitals around the country. The hurricane in Puerto Rico, which is where a lot of the stuff was produced. And then finally, we had a presentation from the compliance issue. And one of the important things, you know, compliance covers not only things like billing and contracting and purchasing, but also quality of care and things like that. And one of the things that was stressed is that there is a way for employees to report anything they think is not in compliance. And there is a non-retaliation policy that needs to be reinforced to employees, because occasionally we have heard that employees are afraid to bring issues forward, and we wanted the governing board to stress over and over again that there is a non-retaliation policy. They want to hear about issues so that they can be corrected.
Well, I think the other part too is it can be done anonymously.
It can be done anonymously, yes.
It's nice if they'll say who they are, because then we can follow up with them to a more complete investigation, but we would rather have the information anonymously than not have the information at all.
Thank you. And that's the end of my report. We're now going to move on to the district expansion initiative, and I'll turn to our CEO.
Okay, just a couple brief things to brief the board and our public members here. One, I'd just like to report on that four focus groups over 2 days on the expansion issue were held on June 11th and 12th, and probably within 48 hours, a poll will go into the field of 500 likely voters for the November expansion election. Before I go on, I just wanted to see, I know that Director Hazen, you were one of them, whether you had any comments. Second is update on potential educational activities through July 31st, guided by Finance Chairman Matthews and by legal. Staff has been working on recommendations to bring to the board what, if any, potential general education activities that would happen between a period where your next meeting is July 13th and July 31st. After July 31st, the district and district funds cannot be used for any activities associated with the upcoming expansion vote in November. And then number C, we have worked on with council draft ballot language. It's being developed by county council, similar to a couple of months ago when the district was before the Board of Supervisors at LAFCO. The district has been asked for its views on what language needs to look like. And so those are the three sort of biggest pieces. We do expect that you will have an analysis of the focus groups and the poll results at the special July 13th meeting. To be able to assist you in future decision making.
Any questions from the board? Okay, we'll move on to the Finance Committee report. Director Matthews.
Including your packet are the draft minutes of the June 12th meeting for information, and also, and Carol sort of. Based on our brief email exchange, a lot of the updates on Las Palmas Center as well. We chatted about that electronically, and much of the information's there. The BMG Health Services Agreement Addendum. Who's taking that?
I can do that.
That'd be helpful.
Am I speaking loud enough that don't need the mics? Okay, good. All right, so. As the board and staff know, we engaged with a consultant for BMG Health to work on an appraisal for the Desert Regional Medical Center facility. What we're bringing forward today is just a modification to
complexity in the work that was needed to work through the phase one process, which will help, according to the consultant, to reduce the overall costs in the phase two. So we're just asking for adjustment to that, so the phase one could be paid an amount of $35,000 versus $18,000. And again, reminding that the total estimated cost for the project still remains under $94,000.
Any questions, then?
I move that we accept it.
All right, there's a motion to accept. I'll second.
Roll call. Any discussion?
Director Borrego?
Yes.
Director Hazen?
Aye.
Vice President Rogers?
Yes.
President Zindel?
Yes.
How about Director Matthews?
Aye.
It's cool.
No,
it's not. Director Matthews. <It's>
Okay, the last. Or not the last, the second to last item, I think it is. Blackbaud online grant making software. Again, never mind.
You bet, I'll take that one. Just for the board's background, currently our grant software program that we use is becoming null and void. Blackbaud is getting away from a computer-based tech software and going to a virtual in the cloud tech software. So the staff took the opportunity to actually reach out into the community. They all went through other funders, but they also talked to several different providers to understand what are the different programs being offered, and came to the conclusion after a deep investigation that we would continue to recommend to staying with Blackbaud onto their online version. We brought this forward to the finance committee. This number of a financial commitment was already built into the proposed budget moving into 2018 and 19. However, we went back to council to finalize some key small changes in the contract, and that package that was handed to you this afternoon, so that's on the table in front of you, and that is with council's recommendation of changes to meet the requirements of general accepted guidelines that the district has followed. The only key thing on this that I want to bring to the district's attention is the cancellation of the contract that council has referred to in the sense of how we can get out of this agreement. It's the difference between us signing a three-year contract versus a one-year contract. If we do a one-year contract, we are looking at a 15% increase in cost, plus each year we would be renegotiating cost. So if we choose to sign the three-year, which is what staff was recommending, what would end up happening would be is the only way we get out of this contract is if Blackbaud themselves caused us to not meet their obligations. So if that makes sense, staff is recommending.
Are there any questions?
So this is a three-year contract?
This is a three-year contract with each year as a guaranteed rate to stay the same, so we will not have to negotiate the cost until we're finished our third year.
And you've already used the software, but it's just this one is cloud-based rather than...
Correct, and it also has some upgrades because we haven't really, the existing software does not meet the new latest technology.
I just want to confirm council is okay with these changes.
Yeah, it's it's a business decision to enter into 1 year or 3 years, and it was an Easter egg hunt to find exactly where the term was in the way this was presented. We found that, and I think it's a staff recommendation is certainly appropriate.
Okay, I'll move the recommendation to be accepted.
I'll second.
Second. Any further discussion? Roll call.
Director Huerta?
Aye.
Director Hazen?
Aye.
Director Matthews?
Aye.
Vice President Rogers?
Aye.
And President
Zindel? Aye. We're now moving into discussion of the budget. And do you mind if I walk?
No, go ahead.
And the first item has to do with marketing line item budget detail, and I'm going to turn to Lisa.
So once again, I think the very important aspect of this budget was to refer to the background. The Board of Directors requested us from the last board meeting to come back with a more defined line items that we felt that we would be looking to spend for this coming.
our marketing and communications plan. We do want to bring it to the director's attention that this has been presented under the pretense that we have only brought forward a draft communications marketing plan to the board for discussion purposes only, and that was when we had our previous staff member, Michelle, on staff. We chose at that time to wait until we filled the positions of communications and marketing director to allow that individual to take the draft that has been once viewed by the board and to actually then take it to a final status, so to bring forward so the board can be engaged and give guidance to the staff to finalize exactly how they saw our communications and marketing to flush out over the next year to 2 years. We also did this under the pretense of, with the potential of an expansion taking place in November, and us moving also to meet new potential requirements of the district through the AB 2019. There are several key things that the staff feel strongly about, and that is to establish a foundational basis to drive our community members to. So hence, one of the top line items is the website development. We currently have a website that meets the requirements of our transparency into the public. However, it is not what we would classify as truly public user-friendly. And when you read the new AB 2019 and kind of look at it from the public's perspective, we want to really take our website to become a robust website that really not only talks about who we are, what we do, who we support, and all the wonderful things that are in our strategic plan, but also to make it very user-friendly for our public to get engaged in our meetings and to understand or to go directly to line items of importance to them rather than having to go through the whole agenda or all the minutes, that sort of thing. With that also being said, we are being conscientious that with the potential of expansion, we need to truly understand our current and our potential expansion district boundaries. And that means understanding communications into those different areas. And that is very much reflective on what we've learned in the last few weeks from the current listening sessions and what we perceive we will be learning from the polling, that we will have to choose very finite ideas on how we're going to communicate in the east, the middle of the Coachella Valley, and the west end of the Coachella Valley. And even though the messaging would be very much the same, the platforms could be very uniquely different.
Okay, I'll make a motion that the recommendation be accepted. There's a second.
Okay.
Second. Discussion.
Wait a second.
Recommendation is page 74.
Wasn't this just an explanation
76.
Of what the line items are in the?
Okay, well, it says action. So I was just, do we need to take a separate action? No?
Let's do the whole budget.
I just saw the word action there, so I thought.
You can do the whole budget.
Okay, so are there any questions then?
That's better.
Okay.
So I have a question. On page 76, where we talk about the breakouts, and then at the bottom of that page, or the first paragraph of the following line item descriptions, we talk about the undefined budget to be used for education, and we say that the goal is to create a unifying message of One Coachella Valley. So just to clarify that may not end up as our message at all.
Very much so.
So I just wanted to clarify that this is not saying that's necessarily what the specifics are. It's really just saying that the goal will be create a unifying message of some kind.
Right, and to like what you're saying about the listening sessions, is to take the time to truly understand what will resonate in this community from one end of the valley to the other.
Yeah, just wanted to clarify so that if, later when I'm saying that the board gave direction that we didn't give. Okay, thank you.
Any other comments? I would like to add that regardless of what happens in November with the expansion, we need to do a better job telling the community community, what the district is all about, what it does. I think we, through our strategic planning, through a lot of the work we've done, we've started that, and I think that the marketing plan is very important. But even if the expansion doesn't pass, I would like to see us have a very robust marketing plan, because people, even in the current district, don't know what the district does. And we need to work on that.
Could I just add one thing to that?
What?
Could I add another thing to that, since you brought it up?
I'll just reiterate that I still don't think it's enough. But now at least I know what the assumptions that drove that, those numbers are. And the reason I don't think it's enough is because of what you just said. So if we take that $100,000 and the CBDF out, we really are left with what I would describe a pretty minimal budget that is going to be asked to do even a greater job over twice the population and twice the area. I think we have a major, or I should say, I think you all have a major challenge ahead of you. I don't think it's enough, but I understand now and appreciate what drove the budget estimates that you gave us. Thanks.
So I just think it's really important to, we are very much in agreement with what you both are saying. However, the staff has come to the conclusion that first and foremost, before we drive people to our websites or getting them to understand who we are and what we do, we have to have a foundational component, and that's establishing a website, because we all know when we give presentations out into the public, they're only taking a very small snippet of what we're saying. So what we need is to make sure that when they come and research us, that they're researching us and finding the information that's, you know, plays to their senses of importance more so. So what we want to do is create a website to become known as the health and well-being resource for the whole of Coachella Valley. Next year will be a significantly higher request.
Okay.
I look forward to that. All right, let's move on to the next part, and I'll ask Chris to walk us through issues having to do with compensation and health benefits.
Can you hear me? Okay.
All right, so at the May 22nd Board of Directors meeting, we went through a compensation discussion regarding the directors, and the ultimate vote was to have up to $10,000 insurance premium benefit for the directors, which would include coverage for dependents as well, but not to exceed $10,000. In addition to that, there was a stipend of $100 per meeting, not to exceed 5 meetings per month. So the budget that we incorporated with that included, let's say, both the $10,000 per director and up to $6,000 on the stipend. So we had $16,000 per director incorporated into the budget that is currently being presented. And then, President Zendel, would you?
Yeah, I mean, I of course supported that, and I guess I'll just say that I didn't realize, some people did, but I didn't, that basically we were giving ourselves a 57 or 60% raise, and...
Except that health benefits aren't compensation, so that you didn't give yourself a raise.
Okay. Well,
I mean,
I think in some cases it's looked at as salary or stipend and compensation is, or benefits is called compensation. And anyway, my concern was that we were doing that, and I would like to see if the board would like to reconsider it. I would like to reconsider it, and my suggestion would be that basically we say that if you take the insurance benefit up to $10,000 for the director and family, that you don't take the stipend. If you take the stipend, which is $100 per meeting up to 5 meetings per month, then you don't take the insurance benefit. That's what I would like to propose as a reconsideration if the board is willing to do that. So I would make a motion.
Wait a second, if we're going to propose multiple reconsiderations, I'd like to reconsider and argue my point of view. So first, maybe let's decide whether we want to reconsider at all, because because it will open it up entirely, just so you know.
Okay.
And you may not get what you want, but that's why reconsiderations are
major. Okay, then I move we reconsider the issue. Is it, Chris, is there a second?
Sorry, there's not a second.
Okay, and there's no second, so there's no reconsideration. Okay. So it stands. So now we just have to pass the resolution, and don't we have a resolution passed?
Just the resolution for, just the consideration for the director insurance benefits in our employee
in the budget
guidebook that just clarifies that this up to $10,000.
Do we need a separate vote, Council?
Wait a minute. Isn't there a consideration of resolution 18-07 relating to the compensation for directors? There should be one in your back.
Yes.
I think with that,
the resolution puts into practice what we voted on last time.
Right.
Yeah. In other words, in order to properly take formal action on the compensation issue, you have to pass a resolution. And in this resolution, we're adopting, if I believe it's the Exhibit A is attached to the resolution.
Right.
It's adopting guidelines, which this is in your discretion. These were suggested types of meetings that you could attend, and so basically that can be modified. But the bottom line is in order to be eligible at a compensable meeting, the board needs to adopt a written policy, which is what the guidelines are, of the types of occasions that constitute the performance of the institutional duties and make it eligible for you to have a compensation, the $100.
Okay. So we're voting on page 80, is that correct?
Yes, let me get.
What's not in there is the meetings that would qualify. Is that coming?
Yeah,
that will come later?
Well, it's in, the way I read this is the second whereas, the government code section 53232
outlines the meetings, but we don't have that delineation in our packet.
Yeah.
There was a document I saw, but it's not here.
What I suggest you do is pass the resolution and then come back with a policy of eligible meetings for you at the next board meeting. Because we're going to do policy, which will be in your board policy packet, and that will then be an exhibit to this resolution. And then thirdly, and I think it's a separate agenda item for this evening, we'll talk about the health care benefits and formalizing the action that was taken last week. Okay,
so we're voting on page 80, is that correct? Is there, first of all, any discussion on the resolution 1807 before we take a roll call vote?
Well, maybe we could, I'll clarify again that even though I didn't support the original enabling motion that's going to put this in place, I will vote to support the resolution to implement it and make the motion and also add to my motion that we direct staff to bring back a policy that would delineate and the implementing procedures to support that would identify and match up with Government Code Section 53232.1.
Is there any discussion before we take a roll call vote? Roll call.
Director Wortham?
Aye.
Director Mason?
Aye.
Director Matthews?
Aye.
Vice President Rogers?
Aye.
And Vice President Zimmer?
No. Okay, next is consideration of the director insurance benefits, which I believe is page 81.
And what this is
okay, so what this is, we're modifying the insurance benefits, retirement benefits that are in the policy handbook for the district. So the at it in general, or more specifically at the bottom of the page, is referencing the current directors will receive maximum benefit under any health plan shall not exceed $10,000 in any plan year to include dependent coverage. And also specify that benefits shall terminate in the month that the director leaves office.
I make a motion to approve.
Is there a motion? Is there a second?
I'll second.
Is there a second? Is there any discussion?
Discussion. Once again, for the record, I'll just say that I did not support this original motion, but I will support the implementation of it. And I think this accurately reflects the motion, and so I'll be supporting it even though I didn't support the original.
Yeah, the paragraph that terminates, the last paragraph on page 81, terminates at the month the director leaves office. So you have an election, so December 5th, you're pretty much out of office. Could we make it the end of the month?
See, that's what the intent is. If it goes all the way, you get the whole month. Yeah. So.
Got it.
Just clarification, if you take office December 5th, do you have insurance from the 5th or from the end of that month?
Yeah.
December.
No, I'm sorry, first of the following.
First of the following, right, yeah, so it's not. Got it. So that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
This year, December 7th, not December
8th. Whatever. All right. Is there any more discussion of the resolution? Okay, let's go ahead and roll call.
Director Bertha?
Aye.
Director Hazen?
Aye.
Director Matthews?
Aye.
Vice President Rogers?
Aye.
And President
Zindel. Aye. Okay, I think we've now completed all the parts and we're ready to do the final approval of the budget, which is pages 82 to 96. And Chris, do you want to say anything?
Essentially, we brought the budget back for the two items that we were just discussing regarding the director compensation and benefits, and also the clarification of the marketing budget that was provided.
Do we have a motion to accept the budget?
I move to accept the budget.
I'll
second.
Discussion.
That's what you wanted. I couldn't understand. You wanted it on the floor.
Just a couple of things, just a couple of questions and clarifications. On, is it, what page is it? 85?
What are you looking for?
The summary?
Yeah, it's 85.
Okay. So on page 85, we show those allocations to of expenses to Las Palmas Medical Plaza and to the NEOP and to the foundation. So, and they... Everything but the NEOP reflects an increase in those allocations, and we've heard before why the NEOP grant went down. The allocations to Las Palmas Medical Plaza are going up from previous allocations. Is that just because the numbers?
It's just a function of
okay.
Salary.
And then we're allocating significantly more to the foundation. Because
we plan on doing more activity in the foundation.
Just allocating more staff time to implementation of the plan.
Correct.
And we have more staff to allocate.
Correct.
Okay, just checking to make sure I'm reading this correctly. And then the other big change, as I saw it, was the grant budget. So previously, at least last year, it was $4.5 million, and this year it's $3.5 million. And
what we've included in previous years is the $1 million for the Avery Trust. In anticipation of that being spent, we have this year committed $1 million to the funding of the expansion. So that was removed this year from the district.
So we should see that someplace else in this budget.
We will see it on the foundation side.
Okay. So that, I think these are important to point out for the record that's why, because if you look at it, you would not see that, and it wasn't explained in the summary. So I wanted to call that forward because I think it's important. And then, what was the other last thing I wanted to say? That while, you know, a casual perusal of our budget would reflect, or might call into account an increase that was a large increase in operating expenses, I'd just like to observe that one of the ways you can make change happen is by ensuring that you have adequate staff and you have adequate resources to be able to implement the change that you want to see happen. And so we've made, as a board, a significant decision to make some significant change happen, including our intent to expand programs and services and beyond our current boundaries and so on. And so I think we're seeing a reflection in our budget of some of those implementing policy changes. So just wanted to point that out as well. Last question I have is this a balanced budget or a deficit budget?
It is a balanced budget. If you look at page 89, you will see highlighted there in yellow that we do have showing a net profit of $84,000.
Thank you.
Don't spend it all in one place.
Any other comments or questions before we take a roll call vote on the new budget? Hearing none, we'll do a roll call vote.
Director Rosen?
Aye.
Director Hazen?
Aye.
Director Matthews?
Aye.
Vice President Rogers?
Aye.
And President Zimmer?
Aye. Okay. Now we are going to turn to the Hospital Governance and Oversight Committee. Vice President Rogers.
Thank you. I would like to point out that the Hospital Oversight and Governance Committee is... The purpose of it is to bring some transparency to the public, and it's very important that the public show up and that we do. I'd like to see a better job being done to alert the public of the meeting and the purposes of the meeting. That being said, we have a presentation from, we looked at the CBRE schedule of the facility condition assessment, which included, if you remember, exterior repair, roofing, heating, plumbing, all those things that CBRE brought up over a time period. And I'm happy to report that the CEO of DRMC heartily approved, and what it is in alignment with improvements. We had an excellent hospital safety presentation from Deborah Carman. Is that how you pronounce it right?
Carman.
And she has a vast experience in hospital safety. I wish I'd written down all of her long credentials, but it was very impressive. And she talked about an online event reporting, near misses, and gave a detailed explanation about how the hospital follows up on everything, so that we see a very close attention to how the hospital can improve in patient safety. And finally, we received some really good feedback from some of the nurses who attended the meeting, who brought up things like sometimes the online reporting system isn't user-friendly, and I'm always happy to see that the hospital responds to those kinds of issues. So, that's it.
Question?
Thank you. We now turn to old business. We have an addendum to the NDC budget. I'll turn to Chris.
New providers.
Oh, I'm sorry. New providers. Who's doing this? Chris?
Okay, at our ad hoc committee meeting on the 12th, we discussed the, at that time, is the seismic assessment that's currently going on. And we were in phase zero of that assessment, which is a high-level assessment that SGH, our consultant firm, will be bringing back to us. We are having an ad hoc committee meeting tomorrow afternoon for the ad hoc committee to hear that presentation from the phase zero, and we anticipate then bringing a full presentation to the board on July 13th at the special meeting.
Okay, the second part of this has to do with capital grants requests, and I'll turn to Lisa.
Sorry. I'm going to reference page 102 and 103, and on the agenda it shows as an action item, and we've done that consideration of how the board wants to move forward, but it was really the staff looking for discussion to get some guidance. This issue was brought forward to the ad hoc under the new provider facilities, programs, and services. Sorry. It was under the pretense, you will see in the spreadsheet, there has been a significant number of letter of inquiries that have come through to staff in regards to capital requests through our grant program. And staff is coming to the board of directors to get some guidance, because at this point, under the ad hoc, we have talked about the hospital and under the seismic, and understanding on where are we going and what do we actually need in the way of, i.e., like we talked at the beginning of the board meeting regarding the psychiatric beds, other different services, whether it's more clinics or actual the doctors. So the question that the staff proposed to the ad hoc committee was that we felt until such time as the map had been presented to the board of directors, they had embraced the map and had given some strategic guidance, that there would be a temporary hold on all capital requests. So from that point, the staff has put forward at the bottom of page 102 two suggestions. One is we do hold off on moving forward on any capital requests at this given time, which we would like to get agreed to go public so our nonprofits know where the board stands at this given moment in time. Or if we alternatively do want to move forward on capital requests, the staff is recommending that the board would consider doing it through an RFP process so that in turn that the community would have equal opportunity to apply for such type of funding.
If I can just make a comment, I think one of the things we did about our grants this year through our strategic planning is rather than have community people come to us with their ideas and we sort of say, oh, that's a good idea, that's not a bad idea, that we actually want to direct people into our priorities. And in some cases, go to providers and resources in the community and say, we think you might be good at putting together a proposal to do X, which is something that we really do. So I agree with this totally, that we should not just be waiting for capital requests to come in, but that we should be clear what our priorities are. And we, in order to do that, we need to finish the work with the facilities group that was looking at the plan, the future plans for facilities, which is what you're asking for. So I do support putting a hold and explaining that this is the direction we're going.
I concur. But are you just talking about the capital or kind of the entire program?
No, just the capital. And I heard it clarified for me. I should be very clear. And we're waiting for the Kaufman Hall report, so the final report on some guidance.
Is this an action?
Any other comments first? Do you need an action, or you just want to, is the consensus of the board that this is fine? I think we're here.
I think just for action.
Are we all okay with the direction?
No,
okay.
I'd rather not go in that direction.
Yeah.
Okay. Very good. Thank you, Lisa and Chris. Okay, now we're going to move to old business, which is an addendum for the NDC agreement.
Okay, at the previous meeting, it was agreed to by the board to ask NDC, Dr. Levitt, and his associates to build a database for the East Valley to be able to just guide the board in your work on the expansion, and if expansion happens, post that. This is the addendum. We had cited that it would be $2,500, and based on a consensus, we're asking you to approve that, and we do actually have copies of it for you. It's the first blush today, but we committed as a part of the motion that we would ask NDC to do that. So Andrea has copies, but we'd like to ask you to formally take the motion to approve the addendum.
So moved.
Second.
Any further discussion? Take a roll call, please.
Director Bertha?
Aye.
Director Hazen?
Aye.
Director Matthews?
Aye.
Vice President Roberts?
Aye.
And President Sindel?
Aye. The next item of new business is a formality that I didn't realize until today we have to go through, having to do with consideration for payment for candidate statements for the November election. So I'm going to turn to our CEO, I think.
Chris.
Chris.
Okay, if you turn to page 107 of your packet, this is during election year. The Registrar of Voters requires that the each jurisdiction or district determines whether the district pays for the whatever it's called, the candidate statement for each candidate that is running for the director position. So the directors need to vote and decide if the district will pay the $1,150 per candidate or if the individual candidate is to pay it on their own. Previous history is the individual candidate has paid for it on their own. The district has not paid for it.
Can I just ask a clarifying question? Are there other fees that candidates must pay to be on the ballot? Is there like a registration fee? Not for the statement, this is for the, we're talking about the
state. I believe that's the only fee to get on the ballot, but then there's also.
So the candidate statement is optional, people can pay for it or not, and you want a motion that we will not pay for it. It's up to
the candidate statement must be paid in order for the candidate to get on the ballot, but the decision here is whether the district will pay the fee or whether the individual pays the fee.
Someone like to make a motion?
Yeah, traditionally the individual has, and that traditionally the individual has, and that pretty much is the only barrier to entry, which keeps the election to people that really want to do it, in my view, and so I move that we continue that practice.
Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any further discussion? Then we have a motion and a second. We'll have a roll call vote.
Director Wortham?
Aye.
Director Hazen?
Aye.
Director Matthews?
Aye.
Vice President Rogers?
Aye.
And President Sindel?
Aye. Legal comments and report, Mr. Scott.
I think you'll be happy to hear that I have nothing there.
Yes.
Okay. Director comments and report. Any director would like to say anything before we move into the foundation?
Can I take a break?
We can probably go pretty quickly through the meeting. You want to take a break?
No, okay. I'm
going
to go
through the meeting. Okay, I think this will be quick. Okay. I'm going to adjourn this meeting. I'm going to call to order the meeting of the foundation. Can we have a quick roll call?
Okay, Director Wortham?
Aye.
Director Mason?
Here.
Director Matthews?
Here.
Vice President Rogers.
Here.
President Sindel.
Here. Do I have a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor, aye.
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 Any opposed? Is there any public comment?
There's no public comment.
We have one. Brent, you're in the public. Do you have any comment?
Oh.
You guys are awesome. I don't know.
Okay. We have a consent agenda that includes board members and finance committee reports. Do I hear a motion to accept the consent agenda?
I move.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. passes.
The budget, do we have to do roll call?
That was just a minute. Okay, now we're having the Desert Healthcare Foundation CEO report. Or nothing. Okay, now we go to the Finance Committee.
I'm going to turn to the CEO to go over the Finance Committee budget for W Groups for the foundation. Actually, we forwarded it to the board.
Any comments?
Yeah. Okay, so you were talking about the budget? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
Did I say CFO or CFO? You.
Okay, so let's jump down to D then.
You want to do D first?
And then we'll go back to the other items. Is that all right then?
That's our half minutes. Oh, I thought we did the. No, I can hit these.
We sold you B and C.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm sorry. We'll do them in order. So the draft minutes are there for your information. Do you want us? We don't have to.
You have to vote.
Okay. Any questions on the minutes? Now, CV, have any omissions? I'm sorry, I was reading from afar and really trying to eat these chips.
Lisa.
CV HIP annual service agreement was presented to FNA, and it was recommended to bring forward to the full board for approval. We went through the process of having council review the contract. The contract meets council's requirements. The original contract was going to be for 2 years with a third year renewal. We've actually been able to renegotiate this, and it is a 1 year with a 1 year renewal contract.
Do I hear a motion to accept the recommendation?
I'll motion.
Second?
Second.
Any discussion? Roll call.
Director Wortham?
Aye.
Director Hazen?
Aye.
Director Matthews?
Aye.
Vice President Rogers?
Aye.
And President Zito?
Aye.
The consideration to approve Barbara Poppy and Associates proposal not to exceed $50,000 for strategic actions to reduce homelessness.
Lisa?
So once again, this was presented to FNA, and it was recommended to bring back to the full board for full approval. This was based on a decision that was made quite some time ago in regards to bringing on a consultant. Barbara Poppy, as you will see with her bio, has extensive background in this knowledge of homelessness. Staff is very excited about this potential contractor due to the fact is under the background of what she represents, especially under Housing First, and also that we've had an in-depth conversation with her during this process to receive the contract. And she is more than willing to work with us to actually embrace the Riverside County strategic plan, find alignment, and create something that's very unique to us here in the Coachella Valley. This proposal has been presented to be paid out of the initiative, the homeless initiative, and that's why it's being presented under the Desert Healthcare Foundation.
Can I just ask a question? Is she going to be working for CVAD or for us?
She is going to be working for the board. This is a contribution to the small group process at CVAG, which also includes the Agua Caliente tribe and includes the city of Palm Springs and has been led by Carol. The bottom line is that the board's direction has been, since you adopted the other, is move towards medium and long-term solutions to combat homelessness. And so the idea with this effort is to bring a small enough group together that can take a strategic plan, medium, long term, back to the cities, all the community-based organizations, to try and come up with an overall consensus how to combat it. So it's a strategic plan for the Coachella Valley, and the district's contribution of that $15,000 is you're seeding that money, but Ms. Poppy will report directly to staff through board direction on that.
So that was a long-winded answer to say yes. That always makes me nervous. So does that mean that this consultant will be staff directed, and the advisory committee through which the inputs and the feedback and the and the advice and counsel will be the seated homeless committee currently functioning at TVA.
I'm going to say yes, and the only difference, and Carol, you may want to speak to it, is the homeless committee is too large to...
Okay, the subcommittee of the current
right.
homeless
yes.
committee,
yes.
that
yes.
we the district, coordinate,
yes.
and that the reporting will go two ways,
correct,
basically,
yes.
But I think... I agree with the original motivation of the question, that we want to make clear to everybody that this is our consultant, that it is on behalf of and to benefit the larger Coachella Valley as a whole.
The subcommittee of the CBAG Homeless Committee is really the recipient of her work.
Right.
But we're managing it, but...
No, exactly the way that Director Hazen just stated it. This is the district's leadership working with this committee, but it goes both ways because you've directed in your overall homelessness mission to be the lead when it comes to policy, the lead when it comes to funding, the lead when it comes to trying to determine the medium and long term. So it's consensus building. But it's your consultant, and it's ultimately trying to ensure that this organization be able to help create the consensus about what the Valley does medium and long term.
It's very clear in the first activities and sequencing narrative, where it says that this consultant will undertake all work in consultation with the professional leadership of Desert Healthcare District Foundation, the client. The work will commence upon execution of the contract, yada, yada, yada. But later on it says that it is going to be basically working in conjunction with community leaders and the current the current groups that are working within this issue to gather and present, you know, the her findings and her the results of her consultation. So it's really the district taking a leadership role
yeah.
to guide the work of the consultant using the input and feedbacks of the existing community and population that are working on this issue, right?
Correct.
Thank you.
Not that we're skeptical, but...
I make a motion to approve.
Wait a second. Any other discussion?
What are we approving?
Approving this contract.
$46,000
yeah, gotcha.
And
sorry,
whatever. I think it's fantastic. I think it is. I'm excited. This is a great consultant. Whoever would manage to pull that together. I think we're lucky to have somebody that's got this kind of experience coming to the table. So I think
first
it's great.
Excuse me.
No.
The first time I attended the CBAG Homeless Committee meeting, I asked if there was a strategic plan. This committee's been meeting for years. Is there a Coachella Valley-wide strategic plan to combat homelessness? And the answer is no.
Great. Okay, I think there's no more discussion. We'll have a roll call vote.
Director Berman? Aye. Director Hazen?
Aye.
Director Matthews?
Aye.
Vice President Roberts?
Aye.
And President Mitchell?
Aye. Budget.
Okay, budget for the foundation. At the May 22nd board meeting, we had originally tabled the district budget for the items that were presented here tonight. In conjunction with that, the foundation budget was tabled in condition upon the district budget being approved. There were no questions at that time of the foundation budget, so it's before you for final approval.
I move the budget. Is there a second?
I'll second for discussion, but I actually have a couple of questions. On page 36, the grants budget is $2,256,000 out of the foundation, and you got it just spaced quarterly. Is that tie to any particular programs, or is that just sort of?
Ask that last year. It's just arbitrary.
you divide it into quarters.
Right.
Just a minute.
If you were to look at, I'm sorry, page 39, you would see that a breakdown of the grants.
Oh, gotcha.
So essentially, it's, you know, the grants that we've
got. No, that's exactly what I'm standing on.
Any other questions, comments?
Is this a balanced budget?
This budget is not balanced. It's currently at a loss of $224,000. You'll see that on page 37.
I did see that on page 37. So, and it's a significantly out of balance. So,
what does that do to cash flow?
Drops you $1 million and change.
No, $224,000.
Cash flow projection. Beginning of year, $5.9 million, with all the potential spending of grant spending, etc., takes us down to just under $4 million. And that also includes the projected $300,000 per year for the potential expansion funding.
Any other questions or comments?
Where is the source of the overspend?
Essentially, it's in the wage allocation from the district as far as the manpower to facilitate the
so
programs.
So we're spending down the foundation assets to finance the
expansion.
Correct.
By $224,000 next
year. With the idea that...
No, the difference between the beginning cash and the end of the cash was $1 million what?
Right.
Yeah, it's almost $2 million.
What page? I'm sorry, what page?
Calling attention.
I'm looking at page 36, but recognizing that $2 million of that is the grants that we'll be spending that was actually previously committed through the homelessness and the mental health.
But that which originated in the district.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
So those monies were distributed, transferred from the district to the foundation to be utilized or facilitated for those programs.
It's because the money was transferred last year and it's going to be spent next year.
Mm-hmm. Correct. So that's why we
have cash flow.
Yeah. So we have the higher level of cash there because we've transferred essentially $2 million between the two initiatives, and so then the spend will occur over the year, which will ultimately reduce that. But if we're looking at prior year, we have not had $6 million of cash in the foundation. So it's like I say, $4 million of that has been transferred in the last year or the current fiscal year for those initiatives.
Right, and the other side of that is that the idea of allocating those additional expenses is that there will be a return over time as those efforts to stimulate new growth and revenue for the foundation take hold. But there's some front end that has to occur in order for that to happen, right?
Yes, so the intent is to do work to be able to bring in contributions and other funding potential sources to help continue the programs, services that we plan to do through the foundation.
Right, so in the future years, what we should be looking for as board members is that will begin to either even out or revenue will begin to surpass as those efforts take hold.
Correct. And then also just to point out to your point earlier, Director Hazen, about the $1 million Avery Trust monies, you'll see at the bottom of page 37, actually bringing that in this current fiscal year, so it's not a part of the new fiscal year budget. We would transfer that in this fiscal year.
Okay, is there any other discussion? If not, we'll have a roll call to accept the budget.
Director Wortham?
Aye.
Director Hazen?
Aye.
Director Matthews?
Aye.
Vice President Rogers?
Aye.
President Zindel?
Aye. Seeing no old business and no new business, we'll move on to director comments. Are there any director comments? Okay. I would like to
thank everybody who had a part. These were big budget. I mean, these were big packets, and a lot of work got done, especially on the zoning and the budgeting. So thanks to staff for the work that you did to pull all this together and bring it forward.
And I'd also like to thank the staff and the one member of the public that stayed, Mr. Klein. We really appreciate it. Give that man a gold star.
Efforts.
All right. So hearing no other business, the meeting's adjourned.